Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Monday and a suddenly very hectic Monday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, I think it's my biggest Colin Wright, Colin Wrong ever. I didn't do one last Monday. I was off. So that is stacked today. Breaking NFL news, Alex Curry is joining me this week. I believe Joy's in Italy.
She is.
Enjoying the splendors of global travel.
Oh, I gave her the most incredible list to go enjoy the places on the Amalfi Coast. I studied abroad and lived in Italy for 6 months. And it's one of my favorite places in the world. So when I found out she was going, I was like, please just go to all my favorite places. This is so amazing.
Well, good for Joy, and that's great. That's what a good friend does. Here's some really sobering news to start us on a Monday. The Indianapolis Colts, a very well-run football operation. They got a smart GM and a smart head coach and the league's best offensive line, and it's virtually impossible to not get to the playoffs when you have the best offensive line or the second best maybe to the Browns in football. Carson Wentz, their quarterback, he is now elected to have surgery on a foot injury, reportedly a high school injury, and he is out somewhere between, 5 and 6 and 12 weeks, 1 month to three. Now, they're in such a wobbly division, they still have a fighting chance to scratch and claw their way to a 9-8 record. That could win the division. Houston's a mess. Jacksonville rebuilding. I don't trust Tennessee. But this is an interesting story. You can do everything right in the National Football League. Everything right. The Colts have done everything right. They built a pass rush, a great O-line, a great GM, an excellent coach, super roster, smart with their money, don't overpay anybody. Yeah, they can't get the quarterback right. And when Andrew Luck retired right before the season, everybody in the media said, he has a right to retire whenever he wants. I said it too. But this is what it is since then. They have been bailing water at the number one most important position. They could call Philip Rivers. He's coaching high school football and beg him to come back. They could go sign Nick Foles. What a psychological mess that would be, like it was in Philadelphia. But when Andrew Luck retired before a season, and I love him, this franchise has been playing catch up at the single most important position since. For them, the good news is they're in arguably the most dysfunctional division in football. A lot of rebuilding, a lot of tire fires, and that really helps. Here's the really bad break. They have a brutal early schedule. The first five games is as tough as anybody in the NFL, four playoff teams. They open with the Seahawks and the Rams. And then they have to go on the road for Tennessee, Miami, and Baltimore. Four of them made the playoffs. Brutal. So Carson Wentz had an option. He could have not chosen surgery and just played limping around, see if you can get through it. I didn't buy that option. He has an injury history. He runs around. He needs his athleticism. I think this is the right option. I think you get surgery, you cross your fingers, you're in a bad division. You know, they also don't have a legitimate quarterback ready to play. Jacob Eason, it just so happens, he played at the University of Washington. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, was a season ticket holder. I watched 15 or 20 of his college starts. Big arm, not much else, not really ready to be a franchise quarterback. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback, period. I don't think he's ready to play. He struggled first few days in camp. So they're in a real bind here. But, you know, this was the same thing for Andy Reid when he got to Kansas City. He averaged 10, 11 wins a year. One playoff win in 5 years. They beat Brian Hoyer. He got Patrick Mahomes, and he's now favored for the third straight year to be in the Super Bowl. That's why teams have to go for it. That's why the Colts went for it. These windows are opened very briefly. Go ask the Seahawks how long that Super Bowl window stays open. Guys get to a Super Bowl, they get close, everybody wants to get paid. All of a sudden, you can't afford your number one corner. You can't afford that second really good pass rusher. You can't afford to keep your center like the Packers. He's off to the Chargers. So good news, bad news, most of it bad for the Colts. The glimmering, the little glimpse of light is this division's so bad. In half the divisions in football, the season would be over. If they were in the AFC North with the Steelers and the Ravens and the Browns, it'd be over, season over. If they were in the NFC West with the Seahawks and the Niners and the Rams and Arizona, season over. In their division with the Jags and Houston and Tennessee, they may be able to just win ugly 19-17, 2017, field goal it, play defense, good coaching, ball control. They may be able to be a couple games under 500, get hot late in the year with Carson Wentz, but I'll defend the Colts going for it with Wentz. Even though I look wrong today, you have got to go for it at quarterback. This franchise has done everything right for 3 years. I mean, everything. Blueprint. It's a little Patriots. It's a little Warriors. They drafted. They developed. They didn't overpay. And they're bailing water again at quarterback. I mean, I hope they kept Phillip Rivers' phone number. Maybe you can talk him out of coaching high school football. Thank God they play in the AFC South. That's all I can say. Bad break for a really, really strong organization that just since Andrew Luck retired, they have just been chasing things. By the way, he had a right to retire. Not saying he didn't. I defended him. But it's hard. You get about three quarterbacks out of college a year that can really play. And even they need to develop. All right, there was a story late last week. Many of you were surprised by my opinion on it. Russell Westbrook is now going to play for the Lakers. And I get it. Now, I don't like Westbrook's game. It drives me nuts. It's not built for the playoffs. In the playoffs, NBA basketball slows down. You don't get all those freebie transitional baskets that Russell Westbrook lives off of. Once you play a team four, five, six, seven times, they can marginalize you, force Westbrook to do what he doesn't want, which is shoot threes and shoot long twos, and he's a very inefficient playoff performer. But in the regular season, he has value. And we live now in a specialized world. Take DoorDash. I don't need it to shop for me. I don't need it to make my dinner. But about once a week, I want chicken parm pasta and broccoli, and I don't want to cook it, and I don't want to shop for it, and I've got things I'm doing at home with the kids. Can somebody just bring me in 30 minutes what I want to eat? And I call DoorDash. It just fits a role in my life about once a week. And that's what Westbrook does. LeBron is old. You got to reduce his minutes. Anthony Davis sometimes plays hard. Sometimes he's available. Westbrook in the regular season is available. Plays his arse off. Plays with passion. Unlike AD, is totally 100% committed all the time. Westbrook's a little like if you live in Chicago and you have a convertible. You can drive it about 3 months and it's the coolest thing in the world. But it is Chicago. You're on the lake. And 9 months, a little chilly. Time to get in the SUV or the family van and take the kids to school. Everything now in America is about specializing and fitting and filling a need. There are very few players in this league that can do everything. Even LeBron now has certain limitations. Giannis is the finals MVP. You wince, you cringe at the free throw line. He can't shoot outside of 10 feet. And he's the finals MVP. The regular season MVP, he's got a bad body. Doesn't get up and down the floor very quickly. There is no perfect player. What you do, if you're LeBron James and you have Anthony Davis, who sometimes is there and sometimes isn't, apparently these guys met weeks ago at LeBron's house. He probably laid it out. And for the role they need him, which I think Lakers aren't done adding pieces, will primarily be a regular season role. You'll get to the playoffs. You'll minimize some of his outside shooting. LeBron will play more minutes in the playoffs. He'll control more of the offense. But it's like baseball. Sometimes, Alex has been covering it forever, sometimes you need innings eaters. You just need a number four starter. You bounce around baseball for 15 years. You got a lively arm. I'm not starting you in game seven of a postseason series. I'd prefer to only pitch you in a postseason series if I have a lead in the series and don't need you. But you know what? On a Tuesday night in Oakland against the A's, you give me seven innings, you give my bullpen rest, you're exactly what I need. There's a role for Westbrook at this point in his career, playing with somebody that will ultimately have his respect and have the basketball primarily in his hands, LeBron. I don't have to love somebody all the time. I don't have to use any product or have to play any player 24/7. We're in a specialized world now. Go look at the finals. Who did everything well? Devin Booker's not going to play much on the defensive end. You don't want Giannis at the free throw line. P.J. Tucker could just not score and be incredibly valuable. Jrue Holiday had nights he couldn't throw a ball in the ocean, but he was valuable because he could muck up and ugly the game to Chris Paul. It's okay. Not everybody's everything. And Westbrook to the Lakers, I like it. I get it at this point in Russell's career. A lot of stuff today. More on Carson Wentz has chosen surgery, so he'll be out 5 to 12 weeks. Let's cut it in the middle. Let's say it's 8 to 9. He's back November 1st. If you can be, and I'm serious here, if you're 3-5, and you're not going to win many in September, if you're 3-5 in that division, you're fine. Because I think Carson Wentz healthy was going to win the division, as I predicted 2 weeks ago, going away. Can you be 3-5 through 8 games? Can you hang in? Because Jacksonville's not going to have more than 3 wins. Houston probably has fewer than 3 wins. Tennessee maybe gets to 4-4. I think they've regressed. Can you be 3-5 through week 8? Cross your fingers. Is Andy Dalton available? That's where we are today with the Colts. What a bummer.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
By the way, I had no idea DoorDash was sponsoring our show. Swear to God, DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. It's a summer of Dash Pass. Members get $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food because of summer. Try Dash Pass for free. Get year-round savings. Stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. I had no idea they were sponsoring the show. Way to go, DoorDash.
That was great.
So, okay, well, I want to go back before I go to the Clipper stuff. Carson Wentz is out. He's going to choose surgery, which I think is the right move. When the story happened this weekend, he got hurt. He could choose play through pain. This guy's got an injury history. Get surgery, clean it up, miss some weeks. Again, you're in a bad division. I think it's the worst division in football. I know the NFC East would give it a run for its money, but I think Washington and Dallas at least are exceptional on one side of the football. Washington's defense is amazing. They have the best young defensive line in football, and the Cowboys have all sorts of offensive weapons. Their receiving corps is great. And this division's a mess. Outside of the Colts' offensive line, there's not a single unit in that division that's really noteworthy. I mean, it's the Colts' O-line and not much else. And so Wentz decides, let's get surgery. And I think this is part of it. I think the Colts realize he can miss 8 weeks and they can go 3-5. They're good enough coach, good enough roster. They have really nice weapons. Jonathan Taylor emerged as a star running back. Can they go 3-5 and hold on for dear life? I think that's part of it. And so Carson Wentz has decided, let's just get surgery, clean this thing up. It's a high school injury, blah, 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 be ready. Some people are floating the idea that Chris Ballard, the GM, should go out, perfect time to get Jimmy Garoppolo. But remember, Wentz's history is one with injuries. Garoppolo's history is one with injuries. So you would be asking Chris Ballard, one of the smart GMs, I consider him a friend, in the sport, to say, hey, you know that injured guy that's really expensive? Why don't you go out and get another injured guy that's really expensive? Now, Trey Lance has reportedly been excellent in camp and is battling Jimmy Garoppolo for the starting job. So I do believe the Niners, there's a strong likelihood they will move Garoppolo and get something for him before the trade deadline 8 weeks into the season. I think if it's even, they'll just go with Trey Lance. He's looked terrific. He's a big, strong athlete. The scarcity of games played is the only concern. They'll play him in all the preseason games. And if it's a tie, they're going to go with the kid over Garoppolo. Then you can move him. So I do think Garoppolo, there's a likelihood Trey Lance is better than many thought he would be, would get moved this year. Folks, we haven't had a game yet, and we already have a team that's desperate at quarterback. I just don't think the Colts are the team to do it. But I do think you're going to have a very good roster somewhere in this league, and they start the season 5-1, quarterback gets hurt, and they look around and go, what are we doing here? This is a playoff team. Let's get to the playoffs. So there's a lot of things here. I do not believe Garoppolo is the right economic fit or injury fit risk for the Colts. They did it once. I defended the Carson Wentz move. You can't do it again. You don't have $50 million tied into two quarterbacks who can't stay healthy. That's just economically, aesthetically, the optics, that's bad. And I think the Colts are one of the smartest teams in football. Alex with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is back with the Packers, getting ready for the 2021 season. Yeah. And it was a long offseason of tension between Rodgers and Green Bay, but he confirmed his commitment to the team, and he is happy to be back.
It's the best feeling. It was a little strange, I think, day one, just because I was gone for the entire offseason and contemplated my own future and the possibility of playing somewhere else as well. But when I'm back here, I'm 100% all in.
Yeah. Now, he got his message across, and maybe that's all he wanted, was to be heard. He obviously made it clear it wasn't about the money, and he just wanted the public to know what was going on between him and the front office, and through what he did, now we all know.
Well, you got Randall Cobb, who's an aging and not nearly as productive wide receiver, but in the end, if you're really honest about it, he didn't get a lot.
No.
The Packers still control his rights mm-hmm. for the next 2 years. He still doesn't have a say where he gets traded. You know, he'll get Devontae Adams for a year, not necessarily two. So he is definitely more polarizing in the state of Wisconsin. Uh-huh. I do think he turned off some fans with that. It's a risk. He got Randall Cobb. But if you're honest about what he got for it, not a lot. I mean, I've said this before. The franchise tag is a disaster for everybody except quarterback. No, it's a disaster for quarterbacks. It's fine for everybody else. For a guard, franchise tag's fine. You get a lot of money. If you're a star quarterback, it traps you. And so I don't think this morning Aaron got much. Well, he shaved a year off his contract. Well, he's 38.
Yeah.
He still wouldn't be available to move in free agency till he's 40. So you know, I don't think anything more of Green Bay from a year ago. Mm-mm. They've been noisy. I think slightly less of them, but they'll probably still win a very mediocre division. Not terrible, but mediocre.
And which is why what you said, what he got, maybe he just wanted his voice to be heard. Maybe that's all he wanted. Well, moving on, USA Gymnastics has announced that Simone Biles will be competing in the balance beam final in Tokyo. The news comes after she withdrew from all of her other events at the Olympics to focus on her mental health. Biles won bronze on the beam during the 2016 Rio Olympics and is a three-time world champion in the event. Now, this is going to be a gift not only for her fans, but for Simone. She put herself and her mental health first in the biggest moment of her life. And because of that, she sparked one of the most important conversations I think we have all had about mental health and how important it is to put yourself and your mental health first, even in the biggest moments of your life, competing for your dream in the Olympics. So my heart goes out to Simone and so happy that she's going to be able to compete.
Michael Phelps and Simone Biles are two of the most decorated Olympic athletes of our time,
yeah.
And they've both struggled with the mental health side of it. It's not a coincidence.
No.
This is when you're representing the country. You know, I talked about this weekend, is that what we don't understand about Olympic athletes that just simply different. If you're a baseball player, you get 500 at-bats. So you know, you bake in 75 strikeouts. Like, you know every at-bat is not the end of the world.
Yeah.
When you're an Olympic athlete, you get a 90-second routine. And by the way,
one. Yeah.
The other thing to remember, in team sports, Dan Marino is a legend in football. In Olympic sports, he'd be a loser because he didn't medal. But in team sports, there's value, the compensation in being a really good player for a long time. There are guys in Hall of Fames that never won anything.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley's a legend, never won anything. Dan Marino's a legend. As Olympic athletes, they'd be losers. They didn't even get a bronze. And so the intensity, what we ask of Olympians, which is, it's America now.
Yeah.
This is not, you know, this is not Canada even. There's more people in California than Canada.
Yeah.
In America, the standard's been set. You get golds or we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just keep heaping the pressure on our American athletes to prepare for 4 to 8 years for a 90-second routine. It is not a coincidence that our two greatest Olympians in the last 15 years, Michael and Simone, have struggled with the pressure. Don't compare this to a shortstop or LeBron.
No.
LeBron James can go 11 for 28 and nobody mentions it because he's got a game in 2 nights. If I, as a broadcaster, I know doing a 3-hour show, I have like 12 segments.
Yeah.
I can say, I can make a mistake. I never feel any pressure doing the show. It's just a treadmill and I'm just putting one foot after the other. If I was allowed one segment a week and my bosses were watching because they expect it to be perfect since I got one a week and they pay me a lot, right? Do you think it would be more pressurized? Of course it would be. So don't compare gymnasts and swimmers and skiers. Don't compare these people to shortstops and basketball players. You're also representing America. Okay, you're not representing Cleveland or Tampa. You're representing America. God, Tom Brady has won multiple games with multiple interceptions. You can't even twist wrong in Olympics or you're a loser. So of course these young athletes struggle with the mental side. Many of them, probably a lot more than are willing to publicize it because the scorn and the stigma of mental health in this country. So I bet you there's dozens and dozens of Olympic athletes that have watched the pushback for Simone Biles. They're struggling with it. They just don't want to deal with it. So they won't even mention it.
Well, she even mentioned it coming in. She felt like she had the weight of the world on her shoulders going into Tokyo.
Of course, she did.
I know. So now even more so. That's why it's just, I'm so excited to see her get to a place to be able to get back to compete.
Listen, if you're Dame Lillard and you play for Team USA and you have a bad night, well, so what? Bradley Beal plays on the team. So does Kevin Durant. So does Drew Holiday. As a basketball player, I don't even have to be. I can go into a game and kind of be like, hey, man, I'm just going to play my game. Whatever happens. As a gymnast, I have to be great. Of course it ratchets up the intensity of the moment.
Whew, I'm going to be excited for that one. Well, sticking with the Olympics, Team USA advanced to the quarterfinals with a big 119-84 victory over the Czech Republic this weekend. And it was Kevin Durant who led the way. He scored 23 points with 8 rebounds and 6 assists in the win. And he also became the United States' all-time leading scorer in the Olympics.
That's
passing
amazing.
Carmelo Anthony, who previously held the record. So how great is that for KD?
Yeah, I was actually surprised when I read that. Listen, they should win.
Yeah.
I looked at all the teams in front of them, and they lost their first game. It's a wake-up call. But I will say this. These guys have played a lot of basketball. This is a veteran-laden team. And as we watch the Milwaukee Bucks do, it's okay to lose the first game of a series. You're okay. These are guys that have played a lot of basketball. If you look at the accumulation of years for the starting five on this team, these are grown-ups.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so these guys have lost games and had pressure. They've gotten better every game.
And what a way for KD, after struggling the first two games, only scoring 10 points in each of those games, to come back and now have an Olympic record. So, good job.
Good stuff. Alex Curry with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
A lot of stuff today. We'll get you updated on the Colts and training camp. I sat and watched an hour of training camp videos on Saturday and Sunday. Also, congrats to the United States men's national team. Beat Mexico last night, which is fascinating. So that's the second time now they've beaten Mexico. It was not our number one squad. It was some members of that. It was young. It was in Vegas. It was an electric atmosphere. I sat there for 3 hours. It was utter tension. One of the most enjoyable even though we didn't have Christian Pulisic and some of our top young players, they're resting for World Cup qualifications coming up. So we played a lot of younger players. Mexico is our biggest rival, and they're very good. They didn't have all their best players, but it was an intense 3 hours. So congrats to the U.S. men's national soccer team. Let's bring in Chris Broussard, Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So before I get to the Clipper situation, which is fascinating, I know I'm not a Westbrook guy, but I saw the move this weekend and I thought, it works. What he brings, passion, minutes, effort, the energizer bunny of the league, it actually works with old LeBron, question mark AD. I look at this roster and I'm like, he's a playmaker. He's been in a lot of playoff series. LeBron likes him and trusts him. And I'm like, I actually get it. It actually makes sense. Your takeaway on the Westbrook Lakers move.
Wow.
I know.
That makes me think you got a late night text or call from Rich Paul or something like that. No, but look, I'm not in love with it. I've said that I'm not in love with it. The pieces don't fit, but I will give them a puncher's chance and then some. For several reasons. One, the talent on the top of the roster is ridiculous, right? AD, LeBron, and Westbrook. You're talking about three superstars, three icons, and Hall of Famers in the future. LeBron is one of the smartest players we've ever seen, so I think he maybe can figure this out. Westbrook, to your point, does take the physical toll, some of it, off of LeBron and AD during the regular season, right? They won't have to carry as much of a load and a burden. So maybe that helps them be healthy in the playoffs. And the West doesn't have a juggernaut, right? The Clippers, I don't think Kawhi is going to be back the rest of next season. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll come back in April or whatever. But I'd be surprised if we see him play next year. So the Clippers aren't going to be that great. Golden State, okay, yeah, they'll be better. Golden State, Phoenix, Denver, Utah, they're good, right? They're contenders. None of them scare you. All right, Portland obviously doesn't. I do think Dallas will take a step up with Luka, but, you know, they're not frightening anybody. So with that being the case, I think the Lakers have, you know, a chance in the West. I still like Brooklyn better overall, but the Lakers, Colin, the challenge is that their three top players can't shoot that well. LeBron's a good shooter. He's not a great shooter. He's good and he's streaky. AD's not a very good shooter from three. 30% for his career. Westbrook, we know, can't shoot. 31%, 30% for his career, something like that. So what I like, Colin, I know they talked about, oh, I'll go to power forward, says LeBron. I'll go to center, says AD. I think LeBron should be the point guard.
Yeah.
I think LeBron should look at this like I'm Magic Johnson, right? I'm the third option. I'm going to make sure AD gets his, Russ gets his. Russ can push it in transition. Russ can push it when I'm on the bench. But when we're all on the floor, LeBron should be the primary decision maker in the half court. He's going to get 20 points just by being on the floor.
Right.
That's how good he is. Though he has to set up the other two guys. And, of course, they better put shooting around those three.
Yeah, and there are rumors they are going to add some shooting pieces. So this is fascinating. The Clippers without Kawhi in 2 years are 19-16. They beat the Utah Jazz, the number one seed, without Kawhi. They've got an excellent coach. They've got a very good roster, a smart front office. But it's fascinating to me they're being held hostage by Kawhi Leonard. So they're going to pay him $36 million this year to not play. And I don't think he'll play this year. He's a guy that, I mean, listen, we know he's not playing to the All-Star break. And we know what happened in San Antonio when he had a real injury. They're paying him $36 million to not play, but to just keep him happy for the right after next year to sign him to a contract. And I look at that and I think, okay, timeout. He's nonverbal. I mean, good God, we just found out yesterday he had a torn ACL. Everything's a mystery. He shouldn't wear a number. He should wear a question mark. He doesn't communicate. You never know his health. Is he going to play? And I look at and I think, Clippers, this is a good franchise now. This is not an embarrassment. It feels, I'll be honest, Chris, it feels desperate. I don't know if I would pay somebody $36 million for the right the right to negotiate a long-term deal. I mean, I don't know. I know Kawhi's great, but man, I've watched it for 2 years. He does not build chemistry, and he's played 48% of the... If he misses next year, Chris, he will have played 48% of the games in 3 years. I can't pay you $36 million not to play.
I hear you, and you didn't even throw in really the physical component. You talked about, you know, he doesn't bring the verbal leadership and things like that. Also, he's an old 29.
Yes.
Right? I mean, he's already was low managing at what? I don't know, 27, 26, 27 years old. And I was told, even in San Antonio, early in his career, he did not want to get on the court unless he was 100%. He's just that overly cautious type of guy with his body. So that's why I'm with you. I don't think he's playing this year at all. And if you're him, why would you even risk coming back in April or May and looking pretty good?
Yeah.
Right? Not looking like the real Kawhi Leonard when you're expecting to get this deal. So all of that said, Colin, and I said, I'd be leery because we saw Amari Stoudemire. And I don't have to go into Penny Hardaway and all these other greats, Derrick Rose, where injuries derailed their career. All that said, I think I'd sign him. And the thing is, I think most teams in the league, if not all, would sign him. And I think, Colin, what Kawhi is going to do is he's going to do a one-and-one. He's going to do probably a two-year deal with a player option for the second year. So he can get his money this year. And like you said, he won't play. And then he can, I think he'll go ahead and say, give me the 5 years, $235 million.
Oh.
That's on top of this year, $36
million. Oh.
So he can lock it up for 6 years. Now, maybe he'll sign a four-year, $176 million deal. But if you look at the numbers, right, it makes sense to do what I just said, 36 this year. 5 years, 235 next, you know, after next summer. And I think Steve Ballmer will do it because, Colin, I got to say this. Look at the Clippers without Kawhi. Let's look at them next year. Without Kawhi, they're going to struggle to make the playoffs because I don't know that they'll be able to bring back Reggie Jackson. And, you know, that Paul George played well. We saw him win, you know, some games in the postseason without Kawhi. But I think over the course of 82 games, it's going to be tough on them. And so I think they'll do it to be relevant and to have a shot to win a championship. We know he's got deep pockets, Steve Ballmer, and this has been a franchise that's been irrelevant for so long. They're so hungry and desperate, to use your words, that I think they'll do it.
Oh, my gosh. And by the way, pay him 36.
They could regret it right halfway through that halfway through that next deal. You made the next last 2-3 years of that deal may be a disaster. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he'll stay healthy, but it's risky for sure.
Well, and also I like people who communicate. You know, I mean, that's the key to relationships. And when you're in a relationship with Kawhi, you're just not getting that. Finally, Dame Lillard we predicted on this show. He would say the trade rumors are mostly outrageous, but keep the door open because he doesn't want to take the glimmer, the glamour off the Olympic moment. Like he just wants to live in this moment. He doesn't want to take it away from the team. So he said, let's not talk about that. But there's real belief that Portland is trapped in NBA quicksand. They're about the 12th best team in the league, and they didn't have any draft picks. Your gut feeling on what Dame does when the Olympics end, demand a trade or stay put?
I think, Colin, what he'll do is I think he'll give Chauncey Billups one season. I think they'll be able to convince him. Look, like I said, there's no juggernaut in the West. They can say, hey, we're close to Denver. We beat them a few years ago. We played them tough this year. I know they didn't have Jamal Murray, but still. I think they'll try to convince him to go 1 year, give it 1 year in Portland. Maybe Chauncey can turn that defense around. That's really been their problem. Offensively, they've been able to score. Nurkic is one more year there. So I think he'll give it one more year. If they don't go deeper in the playoffs, then I think next season is when he'll make his move. If I were him, Colin, I would go to them now and be like, look, work something out with Philadelphia.
That's
and
right.
I don't think he loves the Philadelphia situation. But if I were in his shoes, I would say work it out with Philadelphia. He and Joel Embiid would be able to give, and you got Tobias Harris there
right.
still.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, do it around Ben Simmons. They could challenge Brooklyn. And so, look, Kevin Garnett, Colin, wanted to be loyal to Minnesota, right? He didn't want to go to Boston initially. Finally, he relented. He went. And then a few years later, he said, man, I wish I had done this earlier in my career. Playing for championships is huge. And if you're a great player, and that's what Dame is. So I think he and a Bradley Beal, for that matter, are wasting time not making a decision to ask for a trade. But I think that they'll both waste this time.
Yeah. Chris Broussard, great stuff as always. Westbrook, Kawhi, Dame, all good topics. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
All right, my man.
You bet. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, top of next hour. But next, the go-for-it teams in the NFL and the NBA are almost always rewarded, except perhaps the Colts. That's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to have you in today. You know, there's an old saying financially, you cannot save your way to wealth. You can save your way to content, a nice retirement, comfortable, but to get wealthy, you got to push the chips in the middle of the table. Go for it. Create your own company, a big idea. That's how you get wealthy. You can, even if you make a good living, you can save yourself to a country club membership and a nice life and a second car, but wealthy, you got to go for it. It's very similar in the NFL. Andy Reid's as good a coach as the sport has, he and Belichick. And when he got to Kansas City with Alex Smith, they won 10 to 11 games a year for 5 years. One playoff win. And the division, by the way, was mostly a mess. One playoff win. Just a team. Traded up Mahomes, and now they're favored to reach a third straight Super Bowl. Andy Reid, that's with Brett Veach, top five GM. Andy Reid, top two coach. Great ownership. They were a great team. They were a very good team for years. They were a trusted mutual fund, 9% returns. You want to win the Super Bowl, you got to have an 18-year return. You got to go big. Okay? And they did. And they went big on Mahomes. And it paid off. They got a Super Bowl, two trips, possibly a third. And so the Colts with Carson Wentz, we're going to go for it. These Super Bowl windows do not last forever. Okay, ask the Seahawks. Last year, Colts had a Super Bowl roster. This year, I think it's better. It's a Super Bowl roster. Going to have to start paying some of these guys. You know, Darius Leonard, you know, is he going to be healthy? He's had some injuries. Like when you get that Super Bowl window, you got to go for it. Look what the Rams did. Aaron Donald admitted this week, I feel my age. Jalen Ramsey, really expensive. When do corners peak? How many more great years left? Andrew Whitworth, left tackle, probably last year. The Rams said, we got to go for it. Had to give up a bunch of picks to get Matt Stafford. I mean, Jared Goff got him to a Super Bowl. Jared Goff gets you to the playoffs. Got him to the playoffs last year. Go for it. Well, Stafford's better than Wentz. Stafford's never won a playoff game. You don't think there's risk there with Matt Stafford? Tampa Bay. Tom Brady was 43. You saw him the previous year. He didn't look very good, did he? Oh, didn't look very good. Now, oh, of course you go get Tom Brady. He's 43. But Tampa, Jason Light, the GM, had built a great roster. And they knew we're going to have to start paying some of these Shaq Barretts. We're going to have to start paying these guys. We got about 2-3 years. This is a Super Bowl roster. They went for it. Now, everybody today is a genius. Everybody today is, I told you so. Hey, I picked them to be a wild card team, and I'm Mr. Brady. when Arizona went and got Kyler Murray. They just bailed on Josh Rosen. And I defended him. I said, after two games, I'm like, they went for it. In that division, Pete Carroll twice a year, Russell Wilson twice a year, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, they're like, Josh Rosen's not good enough. We got to go for it. We have to admit, we butchered last year's pick. I'm going to defend the go-for-it crowd. And I think the Colts, with Carson Wentz, Phillip Rivers, they played great last year. They couldn't beat Buffalo. It's like, all right, young Josh Allen's only getting better. Buffalo's roster was last year, you had a chance to beat him. Didn't have much of a pass rush. Josh Allen's still a baby. They had no running game. That was the year to beat the Buffalo Bills. I don't think this year anybody but Kansas City can beat them in the AFC. And they couldn't beat him then. So they said, how do we get to the next level? Big, strong, athletic, big arm Carson Wentz. He needs to be rebuilt a little bit. Psychologically, there's something that's not working. But I'll defend him. Now, I will say this. The news today, he's going to have a surgery and be out probably 8 to 10 weeks. I've got to downgrade him. I had him at 11 wins. This morning, I would go 9. I took a win away from the Rams with Cam Akers leaving. I took a win away from the Saints with Michael Thomas out for 6 weeks. Even though they're in a horrible division, the AFC South, Vegas and I agree on something. I had him at 11 wins. They're down to 9. I'm not sure they can get to 9. If he's out 12 weeks, they're not getting to 9. If he's out 8 weeks, I think they get to 9 and potentially win the division. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, Hour 2 next.